You're listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Technical difficulties. Let us pray. Gracious God, again, by your grace and your mercy, you have met us here, filling this house with your presence. We thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be with you and to be with your people. Thank you for the songs that have called us into a posture of worship. Thank you for the prayers. Thank you for your word, that we might be encouraged, inspired, motivated, challenged, and held accountable to what you expect of us. Now we ask that you would bless us by opening our hearts, our minds, our ears, our eyes, that we might hear and feel and see you working with us, through us, around us, and in front of us, behind us, and, O Lord, on our behalf. Please allow the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts to be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. In your name we do pray. Amen. Amen. I just want to take a moment and acknowledge how good it is to be in community and worship and fellowship with the St. Albans Church on this day. Your hospitality has been so rich, so warm, so inviting. And so I don't know if I want to leave today. Are we having dinner after or lunch after worship? Okay. I want to acknowledge that there are several familiar faces in the congregation. I won't call you all by names. I see neighbors. I see students. I see co-workers. I see so many of you. Who bless my life in ways that you probably don't realize. It is good to be with you. I see teammates of my daughter from high school, and it is just so nice to be in a place where I know that I'm not a stranger on this day. God bless you for who you are as a church family. I need to tell you this as well. I love your rector. I really do. He has quickly become my friend, and I'm grateful for this invitation, for it is really his not only sacred privilege, but his duty to present before you people he trusts, so that when the word is shared, it is shared through people who hopefully walk with some measure of integrity and an understanding of the high calling of what it means to stand before you on a Sunday morning. So I do not take this privilege lightly. With that being said, thank you to all of our worship participants and to all of you. I want to read just the last verse of the first lesson as a way to enter into our time together. But let justice roll down like water, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Amen. Good religion. Good religion. There is a song that originates in the African-American Christian experience titled, "Certainly, Lord." The lyrics are part of the rich call and response tradition of the Negro spirituals. These songs were reminders to trust God even during the painful days of slavery. Even during the years of Jim Crow, even during the uncertain days that followed for many within the African American communities. Certainly, Lord, in particular, called for a higher standard of religion among and from the men and women who had been enslaved and among and from the people who had enslaved them. The verses were a series and are a series of questions meant to remind the listener to live a holy life. In that call and response, the lyrics would ask and answer questions such as, do you have good religion? And the response was, certainly, Lord. Then another question would lead the second verse. Do you love everybody? And the response is supposed to be, certainly, Lord. And then it would go on. Have you been converted? Certainly, Lord. And to conclude, it would say, certainly, 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 Lord. Each verse calls on the believer to evaluate what it means to have good religion. And I believe that today's passage from Amos functions in a similar manner. For we are still invited to assess the integrity of our religion, to evaluate whether or not we have truly aligned our principles, our ethics, our spirituality with what God expects of us and from us. The prophet Amos had a ministry that spanned over a decade. He watched the northern kingdom of Israel as kings Uzziah and Jeroboam II made bad decisions, one after another, that would impact horribly the people that these kings were called to serve. And Amos had enough. He was frustrated by the nation's state of affairs. He felt so compelled that he left his job and went to prophesy to the people. For he felt that God's people, Israel, had misunderstood what God really wanted from them. To Amos, God's people had compromised their values, for they claimed that God had approved of their religion. But Amos looked at them and said, uh-uh. In chapter 5, we receive basically a list, a roll call even, of grievances, of matters that Amos had to address with the people. He cautioned them about what they really believed about God. For they believed that God would wage war against Israel's enemies and give Israel peace and prosperity and security. The day of the Lord, they called it. But as you heard from the passage, Amos said, no, turn it around, because God is looking at you and what you should be doing. Amos revealed a different perspective that, if you paid attention to the language, sounds really harsh. I wonder how many people were traumatized when they heard his words. If I run from a lion, I'm going to get caught by a bear. If I enter into the safety of my home, I will be bitten by a snake. This is language that grabs our attention, that makes us say, wow, God is saying that to these people? And yet, Amos had a point. He prophesied to the people that they valued the wrong things: their religion, their politics, their relationships were plagued with the wrong goals and outcomes in mind. You want the Lord to come fix what is wrong with the world? If you really want that, you need to start by looking at yourself. Amos listed the ways in which God was not pleased with their nation, and he left really no stone unturned. The vengeance that Israel sought for others, Amos said, will find you. The rituals and the songs that you sing are not pleasing to God's ears. God is not listening to the melodies of your instruments or receiving the sacrifices that you believe God wants from your religion. For that is not the heart of the religion that God desires for you. So Amos would not let them continue to live in La La Land concerning their religion. For Amos wanted them to truly assess what it was that God sought as the real definition of religion. So then Amos's words for us today might become an opportunity to take our own religion quiz, to do our own religion self-evaluation. For sometimes we might confuse culture with what culture says is religion with what God says is religion. For our culture has told us that religion should support some people who say the meanest and nastiest things in our politics. Culture tells us that one religion is superior to another religion. Culture tells us that it is okay to treat people terribly if they have violated the boundaries of our lands and our laws. But what does God say? So, being a professor, I'm just going to give you a quiz, a religion quiz on today, and ask you one question for our quiz. What is one standard, just one, that we can use to make sure that God is pleased with our religion? I would answer that question by stating that our religion, as its standard, should pay more attention to doing that which is just and right, rather than simply doing what is culturally respectable and convenient. Amos helps us to see that the remedy for much of what ails the world's problems can only happen if we shift our values, our perspectives, our practices. His critique of Israel's religion helps us to understand that people of faith should be more than pious slogans and should be more than about pious slogans and beautiful liturgy. Religion that is reduced to a set of practices and rituals on a Sunday morning or in the privacy of our own homes is not good religion in Amos's eyes. As a matter of fact, Amos argued that our religion should have some social weight and impact. It is built into our religion to have a countercultural effect on the world. Religion, as defined by some people, might sometimes fail to combine right intention with right practice. But Amos gives us guidance. Do not confine your religion to a set of rituals on Sunday morning. Your religion is more than wearing a t-shirt with a scripture reference on it or listening to Christian music on your way to work or school. Just because you are a minister or a deacon or an archdeacon or an elder or an acolyte or any kind of leader in God's church does not necessarily mean that you are a part of the solution for what troubles the world. But a good step toward good religion requires a commitment to justice. Hear the words again. Let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Consider then what you think Amos might have meant by this word justice. Do you think that he meant vengeance? If you do, I think that Jesus countered that idea a century later when he said to his followers, "You have heard that it is written, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." Now let me give you the Bond version of the scripture. "But I tell you, give a man the other cheek if he slaps you on one side." No, Amos did not mean vengeance. He was not thinking about Kant's categorical imperative. He was not thinking about any other philosophical theories of justice. Instead, Amos saw economic inequality and the levers of the law being pulled in favor of the rich of his day. Amos said God wanted advocates for a more just and righteous world. So then it's good that we honor the life of Jonathan Myrick Daniels on this day. For maybe he provides an example that fits with this passage, our first lesson. Maybe we can look at his life, if you read that blurb that's available for us to understand what he did. Maybe we'll understand an answer to the question, do you have good religion? For Daniels traveled from the comfort of a seminary classroom, from the comfort of the library stacks where he could think deep thoughts about God, from the comfort of a beautiful cathedral, from the comfort of a skin color and a racial grouping that would have given him an exemption from participating in the civil rights movement in the South. Yet, there was something deep down in his soul that invited him to answer the question, do you have good religion? Something that ushered him out of that comfortable parish, out of that seminary classroom, onto the front lines in the South, so that he might support the cause of justice and equality for not just African American men and women, but for all people. I believe that somewhere deep in his soul, he wrestled with the questions, do you have good religion? Do you love everybody? I know when I say that, some of you might be thinking, preacher, really? Do we have to love everybody? There is that clerk at the grocery store who never seems to smile. But somewhere deep down, Jonathan Daniels wrestled with the question, do you have good religion? Do you love everybody? And his answer to the question was, certainly, Lord. Here we go. Let's close this message. Friends, we have missed the point of Jesus. If our religion is just about saying our prayers and showing up at church on Sunday morning. Jesus lived his religion beyond the walls of the sanctuary. He lived his religion on behalf of a blind man named Bartimaeus, who everyone else wanted to ignore. He lived his religion on behalf of a woman who could not get proper health care. So he released more care from the hem of his garment than the whole medical system of her time had provided for her. Jesus even lived his religion in such a way that he crossed political boundaries and healed the daughter of a soldier who represented the enemy of his people. Can you see your religion doing that? Can you help the helpless? Do you stand up for the person who is being bullied? Do you love the unlovable? Do you talk to the kid that everybody talks about? Do you make room for the people who need you most? If you do such things, if you do those kinds of things, I believe you are letting justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. If you do those kinds of things, then your life truly answers the question, do you have good religion? With the response, certainly, Lord. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon Podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.